The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
That's so much fun with kids. I guess I should praise the fishing pole. Praise to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes without saying, I guess, if you're going to bring a fishing pole to worship and you're going to have a little fun with it, probably ought to tell a couple of fishing stories.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's a fish, by the way. Anybody hear me? I mean, we live right by the middle of the lake, right?
Okay.
So there should be some people who like to fish. Who's real good at fishing? Who's real good at fishing? Who's real good at telling fish stories? It's been my experience that the better the fishermen, they seem to have pictures of all their big fish that they've caught over their life. The ones that aren't as highly skilled, they seem to be pretty filled with fishing stories. Couple one that big. It wasn't too long ago, I guess it was, it's getting longer and longer ago as I get older and older, I suppose, I went to Alaska with my father-in-law. In fact, it's only 10 years that we've been there, sure. And he took me fishing in Alaska. And I loved to fish all my life. He loved to fish. And so we went there, we went fishing for halibut, and we went fishing for king salmon. Two different types of fishing. Okay. Halibut, I've fished in deep water before many, many times. I used to live in Florida, and we used to go out fishing and fish for large game fish. And so I knew what I was doing that way. And I figured I had to cut it. There were about six of us on the charter. We went out into Cook Inlet, that's the gateway out to the Bering Sea. And when we got into about 250 feet of water or so, the captain said, "Okay, here's a good spot. Let's go fishing." And so we all went ahead and we let down our lines. And, it wasn't long. I had a bite. And it was really amazing because nobody else had gotten even their hook wet. And I've already got a bite. Angela smiled because she knows this story. I tell it all the time. But I did. And so I started reeling on this fish, and I'm not kidding him. It's in the fish store. It's true. The rod bent over like that. I mean, it was bent over. I'm sitting there thinking, well, I got to be a monster. And it took me a good 2 hours, 20 minutes to get that fish up to the boat. It did, about 20 minutes. And my arm was tired, my shoulder was tired. I don't know if y'all ever caught a halibut before, but that is one fighting fish. It's a big old flat thing, like a giant flounder on steroids, and it doesn't want to come up, especially from 250 feet of water. And so I finally got that thing up there, and I thought, look at the size of that thing, it's a monster. And I'm here to tell you, this is true. It was. This was the biggest fish I ever caught in my life. I had never caught anything this big. That thing was almost as long as the rod part, not the grip, but the rod part of the wheel. I think about that long. And fat boy, it's fat. And so I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I got the first one, I'm good to go, blah, 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 blah. And I'm so happy, and I'm slapping my father-in-law on the back. And just before I could snap a picture of it, the guy took it off the hook and threw it in the water. And I'm not kidding. Well, what are you doing? That's a biggest fish I ever caught in my life. And he said, you know, the first rule on this boat, no matter the size, we never keep the first fish.
Oh.
If I'd known that, I would have waited 5 minutes. But you know, if you know how to fish, you can be as skilled as a fisherman as you can ever hope to be. But depending on who you're fishing with and where you are, you got to know everything about where you're at. You got to know everything that you're doing. I didn't know the rule of the boat. Had I known the rule of the boat, I would have told the man, before you throw it back, please take a picture with this fish. But, of course, I'm still swimming around. I hope nobody ever caught it again, but that's my fish. You know, the king salmon fishing was a whole different story. You don't really got to know how to do a whole lot of that, except sit in the boat all day and look down the river until you get hit. And that's where the skill comes in. And we did catch our fair share of fish on the river as well. But you know, fishing isn't why we're here. We're here to worship God. We're here to talk about the things that Jesus would have us do as his disciples. When Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, not long after John had been arrested, John the Baptist had been arrested, not long after Jesus had been baptized, he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, and they were fishing. And I would say they probably weren't having much luck because they were throwing a net into the water in the middle of the day, and anybody knows anything about the Sea of Galilee, you can fish the shore at night because the water's cooler, and the fish will come up into the shallow water. So they must not have had very good luck. And Jesus looked at them and he said, you know, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. Not, I'll invite you to fish for people. Not, I'll suggest that you fish for people. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. That's quite a different thing. Follow me and I am going to change your life. I am going to change what it is you do. I am going to give you a new perspective. I am going to take you fishermen who fish for fish, and I am going to make you fish for people. And it wasn't long after, James and John were in the boat with their father, Zebedee. And Jesus called out them too. Called out to them, and immediately, no hesitation, immediately, they left their father in the boat with the hired hands, and they ran to the shore and they followed Jesus. I wonder if the disciples knew what it meant in their life that Jesus was going to make them fish for people if they had left so eagerly. I have a feeling they might have paused for a moment and said, what does it mean to fish for people? Well, we know that that those four fishermen and also eight more then followed Jesus. And they learned what it meant to fish for people. Fishing for people in Jesus' time meant proclaiming the nearness of God's kingdom. It meant proclaiming to them that the Messiah is among them. It meant proclaiming forgiveness, God's mercy, God's grace for all people. And sharing that news so that others would come to believe that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. That's what it meant back then for the disciples to fish for people. Now, it wasn't always a pleasant trip. It wasn't always sitting on the bank with a rod and a reel and casting your bait out and bringing in a couple of bream or something like that. Sometimes they got a little difficult. The Pharisees were never far behind Jesus. Therefore, they were never far behind the disciples. The Pharisees always took exception to the things Jesus was doing because he was doing things in a way that they weren't accustomed to. And they had made so many laws on how to worship God and how to live their life so that it would be pleasing to God that they made the laws God himself. Jesus came and he taught them, no. God is your Father. God is your Creator. And God would have your life be fulfilled with joy, peace, and love, and happiness. And so the Pharisees were always at odds with Jesus. Jesus would do things like go to chair and heal somebody on the Sabbath. That's work after all. one day Jesus was walking through the grain field with the disciples, and they were plucking the heads off the grain, and they were rolling it in their hands so they could get the grain, and they were munching on it as they walked. But that just happened to be the Sabbath. Why are you harvesting and threshing on the Sabbath? That's how strict the Pharisees were. After Jesus died and was raised and ascended to heaven, the disciples ran into the same difficulty. But they had learned how to fish from their master. They had learned that it just wasn't faithful. If they remained faithful, rely on God for protection, rely on God for everything that they would need, to rely on God for peace, and simply proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen, Jesus Christ the Lord of all, Jesus Christ the Savior. But they would fish for people, and God would catch them, and the church would grow. It didn't always go easy for the disciples, we know this. It didn't always go easy for them. But they were diligent in their fishing for people. 2,000 years later, Jesus still calls to his people, saying, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Now I'm going to invite you along. Now I'm going to suggest that you go fishing for people. I'm going to make you do it. How does Jesus make us fish for people? How does Jesus change our life so radically that we would want to fish for people, that we would want to invite others to come and see the good things of God, that we would invite people to come receive God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace, and that they too would want to go out and fish for people? How does Jesus make us do that? It all begins on the day of our baptism. It all begins on the day of our baptism. Joanne, before, I don't know if you will remember this day, but today is the day that Jesus is going to begin making fish for people. Because as we're baptized, that water pours over us, connected to God's word, God's promise for salvation, our sins are washed away. God no longer sees us as sinful people. He sees us through the lens of his Son as holy, sanctified, justified.
In the world.
And not only that, as that water pours over us, as we're cleansed from the stain of sin, God also pours out his Holy Spirit. And he pours out his Holy Spirit over everyone who is baptized, and he blesses us with the power of his presence forever. He is always with us. Jesus says at the end of Matthew's Gospel, remember, I am with you even to the end of the age. And he makes that promise sure and certain by through our baptism, by pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us, dwelling within our hearts, so we're never alone. And not only that, to make us fish for people, the Holy Spirit blesses us with certain gifts for ministry. Each one of us has a unique gift. Each one of us has a way in which we not only serve God, not only serve the church, but we serve the community around us just by the way we live our life. We call this our vocation. Each one of us has a certain vocation that we are called to. Now, of course, we all have a job. Everybody that I am acquainted with, of course, they have their Monday through Friday job. They go do this. They may be a carpenter, they may be a welder, they may be a salesman, they may be a vendor, lots of different things. You know, I know lots of people who do lots of different things, but we all have a Christian vocation. Baptized, cleansed, forgiven, sanctified, gifted. Our Christian vocation is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all who believe, just like it was for the disciples so long ago. That's not always easy. But remember, God is with us every step of the way. It's our Lord who calls us fishing people. It's our Lord who says, I'm going to change your life so radically that are going to make you a fisher of people. It's our Lord Jesus Christ who calls us to this endeavor. But you know, it's also the same Lord Jesus Christ that knows that when we go here, when the work gets tough, when we feel a little bit of persecution, when we feel like we're not making any headway, it's that same Lord Jesus Christ who says, come to my table. Come to my table and feed you the bread of heaven, which is my flesh, and give you the drink of the new covenant, which is my blood. And we come, we share the bread of heaven, we share the cup that's poured out, and we are refreshed. Our faith is made strong. We taste and we see how sweet that forgiveness is. And we remember Jesus' call. Fish. People of God, this is what it means when Jesus walks down by the lakeshore, or if he walks out here on Columbia Avenue, and he sees you, and he says, come follow me. This is what it means. We are followers of Jesus. We are his disciples. We learn how to fish for people by reading scripture each day, by praying every day, by coming to worship regularly, and inviting others to come to see us. As we do the same, God reaches down to heaven and blesses us so much as they love him. So, the same thing that I told the kids, I would also ask you, as you go about your week, practice your fishing skills. Pull out all those things that you ever learned about your Lord Jesus. All those things you ever learned in Sunday school when you were a little child, all the way until today when you were in Sunday school and talk about the heavier issues. Think about all those things. And share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who need. And just like I did with the children, we do the same for you. And I'll pray that you have the courage, the will, the desire to do these things, and that God will go with you every step of the way, not strength. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks that your Son has called us to be his disciples, and he has given us everything that we need to fish for people. Ask that you stir up the will of these people to come home, that they too would eagerly go out into your kingdom and proclaim your goodness and mercy which comes through your Son. Walk with them every step, guard them with your holy angels, that they may eagerly hear through for your kingdom through the words of this hymn. All of this, Lord. And whatever you see that is wholesome and good for your people, we ask for all the blessings in the name of Christ, our Lord, and all the people of God's head.
Amen.